Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Hour podcast. I am your host, Miss Kev on Stage, and I am here with my husband and co-host,
The Kev on Stage.
The Kev on Stage. And today we have two very special guests, and I'm like super excited because this will be the year of guests. And that is my sister, Melanie Goolsby, and her husband, Greg Goolsby. Hello. I'm very much excited. So my sister is the author of ABCs for Girls Like Me. It is a book that is available currently on our website at kevonstage.com. Mm-hmm. And her husband have been married for 5 years.
It'll be 5 years this year.
Look at y'all. Finna go to kindergarten of marriage.
There you go. Moving on.
And so every episode, of course, we start off with this or that, Q Kev's theme song.
You got no book?
I have no book. No. I'm bringing the book when we don't have guests. Bringing it back.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That or this with Kev and Liz. Hallelujah.
And people
like that or this song by me, Liz.
Why is this or that churchy?
Because I'm churchy and it's in my blood. Okay. I don't even have blood. It's all anointing oil.
It's all anointing. Oh, you're super safe.
Just olive oil flows through me.
Yes. And actually, people have sent us in like jingles for that. And probably the week after this episode premieres, we will start showcasing those. Mm-hmm. So the question this week is, would you rather swim in pudding or Jell-O?
Is this any pudding?
Yes.
Any flavor?
Any flavor. You pick the flavor of Jell-O or pudding. What would you rather swim in? Go, Greg.
You're drowning in pudding.
I believe
so. I'm swimming.
I think
Jell-O.
You can swim in pudding.
Man, you try to swim in
Jell-O
some pudding.
Jell-O is
pudding
tougher.
Is thick.
I feel like you're pudding is thick, pudding. But I also feel like in Jell-O you're gonna like suffocate. No.
Really?
In Jell-O?
Yeah, it's like,
no,
it's
remember
sticky.
They be having like Jell-O wrestling competitions and stuff.
Oh, they
like,
do.
I go with Jell-O just for that reason alone. Because somebody's already said, man, I can
make a whole
bunch
of that. Oh, no, you're
probably
going to suffocate in pudding because it's all...
Oh. Yeah, you can't breathe.
I mean, you really can't.
I think you're just
going to
die.
I mean, if you had a pool full of this, you
general.
Would die.
Oh, yes.
Like, that's... The hypotheticals are death, yeah. No matter yeah. what it is. So, yeah. There's no buoyancy in Jell-O or pudding. So if it was like a small thing where I'm not going to die and I had to move through it, I would do pudding. And also, I mean, Jell-O. I hate the taste of pudding.
Okay, Greg.
Pudding is trash.
It would be Jell-O.
Jell-O.
And
Mel?
I really want to know why Kevin's being. Were you watching Jell-O matches?
I've seen some things on television and movies. That's, I mean, I don't partake. I just like, oh, man, I thought this was TV.
Just Google Jell-O matches.
Yeah, I was cutting through TV and to see TD Jakes. And it was Jell-O
I'm
wrestling.
Choosing pudding.
Why?
Because all I can think of is Jell-O being a block and you can't move in it. And I don't think...
Y'all know how, like, Jell-O is not hard to move
you
through.
You put it in your mouth and it just, like, dissolves, really. Like, into almost
never,
like Kool-Aid.
I never ate Jell-O. I always ate pudding. So I feel like that's why my answer is pudding as well.
I don't want no association with Bill Cosby. Oh, no. He sold Jell-O.
He did Jell-O, too.
No, he did Jell-O pudding pops. We can't have neither.
Nothing.
Well, that's why we said pudding.
And Jell-O.
We won.
We would. Okay. Yeah, that's hilarious. You're I don't know why this is like my favorite questions to ask. I like
where do you
scour
get these from?
The internet.
Oh, you were answering.
Yes. And Pinterest. And like I just.
That question didn't say like what would you rather eat?
No.
And
swim.
Swimming. Okay. Mm-hmm. Noted.
Eating, that's an easy question.
Yeah.
Jell-O, right? We're all on one accord.
No,
pudding.
You would eat pudding too?
Oh, for sure. I would eat pudding as well.
Jell-O's gross.
Jell-O's gross. It's literally no flavor. Yeah. It's just like a weird texture.
Flavor. And it's all the
yeah, weird. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about pudding.
Okay.
And I'm black.
You actually agree? So in real life, this is my real life baby sister. And anytime her and her husband Greg comes over, we align just it's like
this. Always us against
me and them. Greg probably get along better than Melissa and Mel.
Wait, lies. Because,
lies.
Because, no, no. Truths. Because nobody
understands.
We have
secret meetings.
Yeah, we do. You guys think we're going to Home Depot? We just go around the block and be like, whew, now let us talk about them.
Yes.
No one y'all knows. Ever like we're going to Home Depot. We'll be right. Back.
Plenty of times. See, we finish each other's sentences.
Hey.
But nobody knows what it's like to be married to y'all better than so I hit Greg like, let me tell you what she is doing. And he like Mel the same way. I'd be like, man, it's the dad or the mom or both.
Yeah.
I hope they watch this.
I want them to watch it. You raised great
mama
daughter.
Watches it. My mom
oh,
watches it.
Your mom would be like, can you tell me when we're talking about sex? And be like, mom, read the description notes. I don't know what to tell
she
you.
She does. See, that's hilarious. Oh, I didn't change my pants.
You wearing sweats?
Sweats.
It's kind of already happening now. Join me in the sweats. We're at home.
Oh my gosh, I was supposed to put jeans on 45 minutes ago.
By the way, those are Zay's sweats, by the way.
That's
are they?
Those are boys' sports. Yeah. I went and put them in his room and I saw you with them on.
I actually, me and Isaiah Loki wear the same clothes at this point in life.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that does happen. Okay, so we've established that I'm in sweats. That's a thing now. Sorry.
Join me in the sweats.
But I hate it because now that I'm not working, I wear sweats like every single day. So I actually like low key look forward to like.
But when you work, you're like, I can wait to wear whatever I want. And now that you can, you're like, I
want
to wear
because whatever
clothes.
I want wasn't sweats. It was jeans.
Sweats is. Why would you be wearing jeans at home?
That's why I'm not.
I never wear jeans unless I'm performing or I have to meet somebody.
I hate it. I feel like my life is together when I wear jeans.
Get some more sweats today.
Oh,
I love it. I hope this never goes out of style.
Okay, so we're going to move into today's topic, which is about postpartum depression. And in case you are unfamiliar about, there's postpartum depression and there's also baby blues. So about 80% of women globally experience baby blues, and about 10 to 20%, depending on the year, globally experience postpartum depression, and about 11.5% in the U.S. of women, obviously, that are giving birth, experience postpartum depression. Did you guys know that?
No, is baby blues a technical term?
Yes.
It's like
the crash in hormones and everything that happens like immediately. Upon giving birth, and you experience like some form of sadness, and it's 80%, so it's quite common after giving birth, but it's a much shorter, less severe form of like postpartum depression. Mm. So that's very common, and it's called baby blues.
How do you decide? Which one you're suffering from? Like, when does it move from blues to depression?
I actually don't know, but my assumption is that it is severity and
time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. I didn't even know baby blues was a thing until today.
Me neither. I was...
Okay. I mean, but you could... Obviously, we're going to get into the conversation, but you could almost expect something for you to go from all of these hormones and like making real life, making a child, and then all of a sudden...
You
that's
birth the child
you.
And it's done.
There's got to be some type of reaction.
Even like women's hair reacts, their skin, like you start losing your hair,
edges
fall out. And it's like not just like black women. Like this is something that happens to women period, is like hair shedding and just a lot of things happen because your body is obviously producing another human life. And so it is like preparing for that. So it's like overcompensating whatever your normal levels are. It's like that much more because it's got to give some to literally another person. Yeah. So anyway, that is something that both me and my sister have experienced. So we are going to first share our stories. You want me to go first?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I experienced postpartum depression with my oldest son, Isaiah. And it was like a lot going on in my life. So we had, obviously it was my first child. And upon giving birth, he was like 6 weeks early. And I'll never forget, me and Kevin were watching the Steve Harvey movie. it was his comedy special that had just come out, God's Not Done With Me, or I'm Not Done Tripping.
Don't Trip,
God's Don't Not Trip, Done With Me. God's Not Done With Me. And I was watching it at home. I'm going to just lift this really quickly. I was watching it at home, and that day at work, I took lunch, and I was walking around the parking lot at my job, and I started experiencing like these really severe pains, like to the point I was like hurled over. And this car, whoever, stranger I didn't know, saw me that, you know, I'm pregnant, and I'm like kind of hurled over, and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, it's fine, like I'll be okay. Went back to work. Kev's not shaking his head because that's very much in line with who I am.
Are you fine? Yeah, just having a baby. Mind yours.
Yes, seriously.
Keep it moving. Nothing to see here.
I absolutely went back to work, finished out the day, got home. I was watching that movie, and it was my first kid. I had never experienced contractions, Braxton Hicks, none of the things. None of the things. I was purely ignorant, but I was convinced, oh my God, I think I'm having contractions. I think I'm about to give birth. So I told Kev, we rushed to the hospital. We get to the hospital, and I was actually experiencing Braxton Hicks contractions, but all of my like vitals, I don't know specifically, I know like potassium was one of them. Whatever was supposed to be high was low, and whatever was supposed to be low was high. So I went into like emergency C-section. All I remember is going in one day and waking up with the baby 2 or 3 days later. And that's like all I remember. And then shortly after giving birth, I found out my parents had got divorced, and my whole body and mind was not prepared to have just had a baby, find out that my parents are divorced, all in like weeks of each other. Like I was still on maternity leave when all this happened, and it affected me in a way that I started having like panic attacks, like severe panic attacks. I was just sharing with my sister as we were kind of prepping for this episode that it felt like I was going crazy. And then I was going to die. It was like I was going to go crazy, and then I was going to immediately die. Because it was like, you just feel like you're out of control of your body. And I remember my dad at the time was overseas, and he had come home, and we went to, I don't know if you remember this, we went to SeaTac to pick him up. Mm-hmm. And you were in the back. You do remember? And you were in the back with Isaiah. You don't remember?
A lot of things have
you
happened.
You were way too enthusiastic about the yes, I do remember.
I'm scanning all my brain. Everybody in my brain was like, go through the vows. They're live. They're live. Why don't you remember this?
That's hilarious. I remember. And I had like a legit panic attack. I can't believe you don't remember. And you like had to pull over. You like reached from behind and pulled over the car. And we like pulled over with my dad in the car. And he was like freaked out. Like, is she okay? If you know my dad, like, you, it's actually kind of funny to like imagine him like kind of freaked out. Like, oh my God, is she okay? Like, what's wrong? Or, oh my God, I've never seen this before. And Kev was all freaked out. And I was just like, it was overwhelming to like, I don't know, like have him in the car with me after just hearing about my parents. And maybe we were trying to have a conversation about it. Or maybe I was just thinking about it. I don't even know. But like, all of a sudden, my body was like, I can't even like replicate how like shaky I was. It was just like out of control. So anyway, I was on maternity leave, and they give you a little bit more time for C-section because I had to have an emergency C-section because I had preeclampsia. And by the time I was supposed to go back to work, I called, or they call you to check on you. And I was like bawling. I'm not ready to go back, like all of these things. And the lady was like, it sounds like you have postpartum depression. And it was the first time I was like, oh, maybe that's what this is. Like it had not occurred to me before that moment. And so she recommended I go see a therapist, and I did that. And it was like, I was better after that. Like I went to see her for probably about a month. I ended up being on maternity leave for August, September, October, November, December for about 4 months. I didn't go back until December-ish. Yeah. And when I went back, I was fine. She gave me some like coping skills and like some tactics to do. Some of the things I actually still remember and use. But yeah, that was like, that was my experience. It was deep, right?
It was deep.
I was not ready for none of that. I remember watching the Steve Harvey thing, and you went into labor. And I remember like we had like a backpack that was like our go pack or whatever. And for whatever reason, as soon as you're like, okay, Kev, I think it's real, I was just like changing shirts. I was like, ah, this is not, I cannot be born when my son is born. I cannot be wearing this. This shirt doesn't, like, I changed shirt like 3 times. You're like, fam, what are you doing? I was like,
I remember that.
I was not prepared. I think Nick was with us.
No.
Or she was just she was on the phone. We called her.
Oh,
she
was actually, like, you guys right. We did.
And I was like, let me just change. She was like, why are you changing shirts? Yeah. They give you scrubs. And I was like, ah, scrubs. So we got to the hospital, and I remember a lot of things about that. One, feeling like the hospital staff was not as ready as they should have been. Mm. Like, we're going through the emergency room, and they're just like, take your time. And I was like, she's breathing hard. Like, help her. I'm, like, opening doors myself and stuff. But the worst part of the whole thing, well, the two worst part, the worst part before you had the baby was when the doctor came in, and they were, like, very calmly, like, your wife's having some complications, so we're going to do is have an emergency C-section. Don't worry, it's going to be fine. We know next time you see her, you will have a son. And I was like, well, can I come in there with her? And they were like, no, this is kind of like critical. I don't remember the words she used, but she was just like, it's not really enough space for you to be in here, but you'll be fine in here. We'll be back in a couple hours, right? So I'm like, okay, but they made it seem like it was not that big of a deal. It was like, you know, these births are vaginal, these are C-sections, don't worry about it. It's kind of common, you know, mm-hmm. courtesy or not common practice. And since, of course, we didn't have any kids and sure. I'd never been around anybody who had kids, like at the hospital, I was just like, okay, you know, C-sections are, you know, I knew that could be something. So you were gone all night, like many hours. And in the when you they came back and said, oh, you got a beautiful baby boy. We'll bring him back. We're just cleaning him up. He's 4 pounds or whatever. And, you know, be thankful because we almost lost your wife. And I was like, now, hold on. What? Was she on a different floor? And they're like, oh, no, man. We, you know, we purposely don't tell you how serious things can be. Just open it, Zay. Zay, she was fine.
Joey. Joe.
He was trying to help. Nice.
Nah,
he
Joe.
She was yelling.
It's fine. She's totally. She's it doesn't matter. You're it's doing the best you can. Yeah, just postpartum. Yeah. Thank you, Joe. God bless you. I love you. Should we edit that out?
Oh no.
So when they came back and they were like, you know, yeah, her organs were actually it was another person, and I don't know if that person didn't know how calm the first person was.
Yeah.
But they were like, yeah, you know, your wife's organs were shutting. Oh, I remember why. So. They were like, your wife's organs were shutting down, so that's we had right. to have it. Her blood pressure was rising. We couldn't get control of it. So she's going to be heavily sedated for a little while, so we're going to bring her back. And a little while was like 3 days. So you were like in and out of it when like people came, like family members came, and you would like be up enough. And then you would be asleep for like 8 hours. Mm-hmm. So when I had visions of having a son, I did not think mm-hmm. I was going to be doing all the stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like holding the baby. He's like, he was a little premature. He's like tiny. He's like, I remember he fit like in my arms like this. And I had to feed him all by myself. Like I was a big boy. I had to feed him all by myself and change him. And also, this is unrelated, but they don't tell you the first baby poop is like, tar. Not like I had changed a lot of diapers, but that first meconium, I was like, okay, this is like motor oil. And yeah. So Melissa was asleep for like 3 days. Mm-hmm. She was like in and like not a coma, but like you just could not wake up long yeah. enough to help. So that was the first thing that we were in the hospital for like a week, I believe. And on the, maybe the fourth day, you kind of like came around, yeah. and by maybe the fifth or sixth day,
Isaiah technically was discharged from the hospital before I was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They were like, you can take him home, but I mean, your girl here. So if y'all want to fit in the same car, like, I don't know what you want to do. So, so that was the first thing. But, you know, after that, it was like, that kind of kept me busy. At least I understood. But when you were having panic attacks, like you didn't really go into how serious. The one that freaked me out wasn't the car one.
Oh.
Isaiah was asleep. And at this time, I used to still play Madden. Rest in peace to my video game. So I'm playing Madden, and you were just taking like a sitting on the bed, like chilling. And next thing I know, I hear like sounds, and I turn around, and you were having like a seizure.
That's what I told Mel. I don't even remember this one.
You were having a full blown seizure, and I remember one of our friends at the time was an EMT. And I called him, and I was like freaking. I don't know why I called him instead of 911. He was saying it was probably a panic attack because a seizure. Like he was asking, with your eyes rolling in the back of your head mm-hmm. and your tongue like hanging out, and that wasn't the case. But you were like shaking yeah. violently and uncontrollably. So he was like, "It's probably a panic attack. It's probably stress. Relax." And he actually came for free because we was poor and he lived close and he was an EMT.
I vaguely remember this now that you're talking about it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have recalled it, but now that you're talking about it, I feel like I vaguely remember. Yeah.
So he came and then we took you to the doctor afterwards and they were like, it was stress. Mm-hmm. And I could not wrap my mind around how stress could make your body do that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like it was like shaking hard, like a fish out of the water thing. And I was just like, I remember after that, I was like, look, Melissa, your family is me, you and Zazie.
Right.
You are focusing so much on your parents' divorce that it is causing you to put your real life in danger.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose your current family worried about things you can't control.
Yeah.
And I think it was those words that changed your life. Yeah. And like therapy, I don't even remember you doing that. I feel
you
like.
You don't?
No.
That's where I heard and I say this all the time. The therapist told me that a woman's mind is like watching the news. And you have this big station here and your mind is always on the ticker. So even when you're asleep, that ticker is always going and you have to learn to control the ticker. And that's when I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. That is my mind. Like it is all like I'm looking at you, but I'm also thinking about all these other little
your
things.
Your mind is like SportsCenter. There's a ticker. There's the new topics it's on the CNN. Right. There's four people yelling at each other. There's commercials that are happening. Like it's just like crazy. And I was just like, and your parents didn't even live in Washington at the time.
No.
So I was like, Liz, you're really stressed. I don't think Mel lived. You were in college at the time.
No, I remember going up to the hospital and then I left like 2 days later.
After I had
back to Atlanta. After,
yep. I went. Yeah. It was my first year.
Yeah.
Because his birthday is August 8th. I went August 10th.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was for me. It was scary to not know what was happening and what to do. And I didn't know the term postpartum depression at that time.
I didn't either.
So I was just like, fam, you picked up. And up until that point, you had been really strong your whole life. Mm-hmm. So to now be like literally stressed out of control and I got a new baby. I mean, I've dealt with children, but not like I think the one thing I miss or underestimated with children is how much having a baby with you every second of every day is like not like watching your niece.
Oh, right. Man.
Like when you have, and then they don't sleep and you couldn't help. And he was like every hour and a half. And I was just like, this is really hard. Yeah. Like somebody should have told me.
Yes.
I was not prepared.
Yeah. Okay. That was good, Kev, because part of the reason I wanted each of us to give our stories so that what you recall may be different than what I recall.
Yeah.
And I would not have remembered that bed one.
That day is like seared in my mind. Yeah, that's like 12 years ago.
And the car one is what's seared in my mind because I remember my dad being freaked out. And you like coming over, like you were in the back and like coming over and pulling the car over. We were on I-5.
For you.
Hello?
I really haven't been there for you.
You gotta go away.
Your boy has been
all Greg and Kevin do is hype each other up.
Yeah. Saving life with quotes. Saving cars. Physically
saving life with quotes.
You know, yeah, save your life with the
you said the doctor did it, but actually.
Yes. That when I said that, that really turned you. You really was like, you're right.
Yeah.
And then you were like, maybe I should do therapy. And I was like, yeah.
You don't even remember her going to therapy.
I know, because what I said was so impactful.
Good night.
Sure, you studied, but do you have these bars?
That is hilarious. Okay, Mel, do you want to share your story?
Hold on, before Mel goes.
That you almost lost your life.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man, it was like, they were like, organs were shutting.
My organs liver were shutting.
The liver was the thing they were the most concerned about. Because apparently, once your liver has like a certain amount of damage, it's irreparable.
Yeah.
So even if she would have like came out of it, like eventually she would have died. And I was just like, I'm really glad they did it the way they did it, because had they told me how serious it was and then just still went away for 6 hours, because I was alone that whole time and it was dark.
I don't think I ever realized that.
Yes, I was. And it was dark. And, you know, in Washington, it's also dark and raining.
Yeah.
So I'm just like.
And nobody was with us. Like,
no.
I was staying at you guys' house, like, in preparation to move, because we didn't have the house anymore. So I was staying.
My parents were in Spain.
And it was the time of the Olympics.
Yes.
And I remember like binging the Olympics all the time and being asleep on your bed. And when I woke up, I had so many missed calls and they were all like, Liz is having the baby. And I don't remember the time frame in which we came up to the hospital. But by the time we did, the room was dark. There was
they
not,
had to keep all the lights
to keep,
to keep my
down.
Blood pressure low.
And Kevin was like, nobody can talk.
I mean.
Oh, I was.
And we were like.
Bruh.
He's like, nobody can talk. He kicked everybody out of the room. Somebody laughed or something, and you were like, and I was like, I don't even know what's happening. Like, I halfway didn't even like Kevin. So, like, what are we doing?
It was because my blood pressure was so high and honestly, it was so fragile that they were like, everything has to be calm. Yep. You can't have a lot of talking, a lot of commotion. The lights were low.
And people just kiki-ki. So, yeah. I told Reggie, we're going to pick up the Dodge game. We're going to be
not
playing.
Having it.
Everybody get.
And didn't even care. Because was mom in there?
Mom was there.
Mom was in there. And I was like, oh, he tried it? Like,
no. He did it. He didn't try nothing. Everybody left that room.
We sure did.
And anybody who had a problem could see me physically. But it was like, intense. The thing is, when you're that, like, once you hear that information.
And we were so young. Like, we had Isaiah at 23.
Yeah.
That's so young. Super young.
It didn't really feel young at the time,
though.
It didn't.
Because all our friends had already had kids. We were actually, I tell people in LA this all the time, because no one in LA has children.
Yeah.
So in Washington, we were late at 23. People was having kids in high school. My brother had kids early. There was kids everywhere.
Yeah.
In LA, you are 45, like, I'm thinking about children.
Yeah.
So Zay at school, like, you guys are like the only parents that are in your 30s. And our sons are like, it's just weird that it's the reverse, in LA. But, I think that I want to hear Mel's story because I didn't know until I feel bad. I don't want to look at none of y'all in the eye. But I was like, we're going to talk about postpartum depression with Mel. And I was like, she had depression.
Because all you ever did was say, you want your blender. You want your blender.
Oh, my God. You know what?
We were staying in
Wait,
this.
Tell the story.
We
tell
on in this
before
room.
She tells the story. Okay. I've been reading about, so growing up in the Black community, I feel like we didn't know much about mental health, depression.
Not a thing.
Right?
Yeah.
So I didn't understand a lot, but on Twitter, there's a big mental health conversation that's been happening over the last year or so since you guys moved. And I've been reading about it because I didn't understand it. And I realized I read something. And even in in Big Mouth, season 2, they talk about depression. Mm-hmm. But they were saying like depression isn't like I'm sad.
Right.
It's like I'm tired. I don't want to leave my room. And then like little things that used to didn't matter really matter. And I gave you so much crap for your blender. And
I don't even remember saying, but tying it to this, I probably said it once.
So tell the story of the
dramatic.
Blender so people
Wait,
know what
no,
the blender
tell
is.
Your full story.
Kevin's dramatic. But okay, here's the whole story. The whole story is it was in May. So I was like 5 months pregnant maybe, living in Atlanta. And got the call or got a message on LinkedIn about an opportunity at my current job. Should I say my current job?
It's up to you. We're not bleeping or editing.
Oh, okay.
Too much,
I work at Netflix. Okay. So
you feel comfortable, we feel comfortable.
Just don't inbox me. No. I got an inbox on LinkedIn about an opportunity at Netflix in LA asking if I was interested. So I'm like, sure, we'll have this call. And once I tell them that
they're
going to
fly you out,
going to, well, before even that point, I figured that I remember having this, do I tell them I'm pregnant? How do I do it?
Yeah.
And like reading about how transparent their culture is. So I'm like, I'm going to say it on the first call. And if he, continues the conversation, then cool. And if not, like, I'm fine with that too. So at the end of the conversation, it was a great conversation. And so I said, in the spirit of transparency, I want to let you know that I am 5 months pregnant. And he was like, oh, okay, cool. So I will be in touch about like next steps and like, are you okay to fly out? And I was like, oh, like you still want to continue?
You thought they were going
to
be like, never mind.
Yeah,
ain't no
I
job,
didn't
bye.
Think it was going to continue.
Point, I was like, I ain't leaving Atlanta. They ain't about to hire her. She 5 months pregnant.
I think we both
so I was
did.
Like, yeah, cool. Come
yeah.
On for the job.
Yeah,
we
trip
to LA. Yeah, we ain't about to get that job.
So then he called back and ended up scheduling a flyout for my birthday. It was on June 6th is when I came out, did the in-person interview. I remember stressing out about even the outfit and like trying
to
like figure out what is appropriate. They know I'm pregnant, but do I just like show that I'm pregnant? and so had the interview June 6th and flew back that night. And June 7th, they called me and said I got the job and asked like as far as how far along I am, when I can move out and all of that kind of stuff. So and it was a big, huge discussion about should you move. Do you want to move out now and start the job and then do maternity leave? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to stay in Atlanta,
have
your
baby,
and then
move after?
And I remember the HR telling me so many times, the job is not going anywhere. It's really about you and making sure that you're comfortable. And I was like, oh no. She was like, you're going to have to find a new doctor. And I'm like, I don't even know the doctor's name I have now. We're fine. I don't really care. And then
a stethoscope's a stethoscope.
Yeah, like everybody knows how to have a baby. 2016.
And I felt like that job going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
If you wait.
I felt that too.
Yeah. I want everyone to know I was the only of us four telling my sister, have that baby in Atlanta. Yep. Come here after. Yeah. If they are that open to hire you and you are pregnant, having a baby is more than you think. Stay your butt in Atlanta. Come here afterward. All y'all was against me.
I was like, nope. Black girl magic. I'm gonna tell my daughter this story that I changed jobs, pregnant, moved across the country, had a baby. We can conquer the world. And Kevin was like,
yes, I was.
Move to LA.
Gassing you up
all the way. This is Netflix. And I kept telling them, if she said you got the job, they're not going to rescind on this job offer.
Nope.
Yep, take this job. I don't believe. You never know.
And I also remember thinking, and like even when I got the job and started, I remember having the attitude that like, this is fine. Like, people are tripping. I'm not a dramatic. I mean, I'm dramatic, but I'm not in the way of like, oh, this is too much. I can't take it. I'm like, psh, I got this. Like, you put your big girl pants on and you keep it moving. So that was my attitude and mentality about the whole situation. But also, like, feeling dope that, like, this is a company that wants to hire a pregnant girl, a woman. And here I am, like, that woman. So, like, absolutely, I can do it.
Yeah.
And so I moved out July 7th.
Oh, yeah. The 7th.
My first day was your birthday, July
11th. July 11th.
And I worked until... Because
we're sisters.
We are. interview on my birthday and started on yours. I started July 11th, and I worked until... How many days are in July? 31?
31.
Mm-hmm. On July 30th, I... went to my manager and I was like, so how long do I have to do this?
Do I got the job like for sure right now? Because I'm stressed.
I was like, can I like go on maternity before I have the baby, or is that not a thing? Because I can't do this. Like, I can't do this. And so he was like, yeah, like, when do you think you want your last day to be? And I was like, tomorrow.
What if I left at 11:15 at this moment?
It was a Thursday, and I was like, yep, I don't want to make it anymore. Like, July's it. That's the last month. I mean, the last day. And so the last day that I worked was July 31st. And it was so sweet because I literally had worked there for 3 weeks. I didn't even finish my training. I think was 4 weeks, and I didn't even finish my training. I was like, I cannot do this. And the side note is, Greg did not move with me.
I was just about to say that
Greg was in Atlanta the entire time,
selling their house.
I'm not shading you.
The way you said it was looked like.
Did you see the finger?
Vegas was in Atlanta.
No, we agreed.
I've never forgiven him.
We did agree.
We agreed that he would stay.
Yeah.
Working his job, and we had a condo that we had to sell, so he was prepping the condo, doing all of that stuff.
So I was
there by myself, pregnant and like going crazy.
When you see this back in the way you were pointing at me, you gonna see
it. I'm sure. Anyway, so then they like the next day, and people that, you know, on my team that I didn't even know, and they like got cupcakes for me and like threw a little baby shower. They bought gifts. It was like the sweetest thing.
Yeah.
It was so sweet. And then that was it. I didn't go back to that job. And then I like,
you did maternity leave.
I did. I remember like bawling, crying, and trying to tell Greg that he needed to come out. Like, forget what we agreed to. You're not in LA.
And the funny thing about postpartum depression is that it can affect you during pregnancy and after.
And
really?
Do you guys remember?
I was doing all the research trying to be like a good host. Possibly. Maybe pre-partum. It's just partum depression.
Partum is Latin for the baby's out. Ain't it?
Good night.
I actually don't know.
I want to just throw a joke in there. It's an idiot I knew at one time in my life. And he asked his baby's mom, hey, man, you suffering from postpartum? She was like, postpartum depression? No, just the part of, I don't even know what the rest of it is. Like, postpartum just means you had a baby. Are you suffering from that? Oh. Like, no, it's a whole thing. It's depression. Postpartum depression is a phrase.
Legit.
So anyway, I thought that was a bit much fun.
It's following childbirth or the birth of a young. So I think it would just be part of depression.
Okay.
The other thing, do you guys remember my car being dropped off?
Yes.
Oh, snap.
Picked up too?
No, but
the whole heading
when they dropped off my car.
But when he picked up your car too.
He was tripping when he picked up your car.
You're right. You're right.
But when he dropped it off.
But you were there for that.
Yeah.
Nah, I wasn't there for that. I was at work.
I mean, but you were in the state.
Oh yeah, I was in the city, yeah.
When
but you still had that issue with him.
Yes. At the house. Yeah. Ongoing. Yeah. Terrible person. I don't know his name or anything.
If I ever meet you, man.
The long and short of it is she had to have her car shipped from driven from Atlanta to here. And the guy was giving her a heck of a
time.
They
arrived
trying
a day
to,
early.
And they, was it
a we day early? We were at Benihana's.
Yep.
And they arrived a day early.
For your birthday.
Yeah, for my birthday.
And they were like, hey, we're here a day early. Can we drop the car off now? We're at the address. And Mel was like, we just got to dinner. Nobody even called me and said it was supposed to be today.
Yeah.
Like, it'll take me a second to get back to Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
I guess. So Mel was like, hold on. The dude was just tripping.
He was
until
terrible.
He got on the phone with who?
With you.
With my dog.
But
Kev came through like, look, this is what we gonna do. You gonna drop that car off at the same time you said you was gonna drop that car off. She already tried to help you. You wasn't acting right. Yeah. Cool. You don't want to act right. You'll drop it off the next day, the same time y'all said, and you ain't going to ever talk to her like that again.
But we also tried to arrange for him to, like, drop the car off here.
Your
so
house.
We were, like, en route to the house.
Yes.
And he wasn't taking none of that.
Yeah, it was just kind of a mess.
It was. Somebody, he had his wife call and, like, went off on me. And then it was, like, 9:30 at night.
It was
so then
really
it's
late.
Dark and it's late. And
you're by yourself.
And I'm scary. Mm-hmm. Jessica was with me. But we were both, like, scared. Anyway, it was just all bad. The point is, it was all bad. So I had my daughter August 19th. Greg had come out after me harassing him to come out early. He did come out early. And then we have McKinley. And we had previously discussed with Melissa and Kev us staying with them in their room, in their spare room.
This room.
Also
this
known
room.
As Studio A now.
Also known as Studio A.
We've converted it.
Staying with them until we, like, found a place. But also because I had long maternity leave that we were planning to be here for a little while. And then we were going to go to Atlanta until we were prepared to come back.
Now, I was just going to say, we were planning to stay like a whole year.
Mm. That's true. Yeah. Greg was planning to stay a whole year.
No, y'all. Don't you put on Greg. Y'all had agreed for a whole year.
Stack some money.
I don't think I ever agreed to a whole year. Can I get through my story?
Okay, get through.
If you're going to tell it true, if you're going to lie about it, I'm going to stop you.
I didn't agree.
No. You absolutely did, because Greg was all about the saving money. He was like, we moving to L.A.
Yes.
You're going to get paid at Netflix, but the cost of living is really high. Let's bank up. Stay with Kevin Lynch.
I'm not saying that he didn't say that. I'm saying I didn't fully agree to that. I agreed to staying with you guys, which is what we
go
did.
Go ahead and finish your story.
Anyway.
This is why we don't like them.
I don't remember if that's why I stayed silent.
I don't remember nothing.
Nothing that makes them look bad or wrong. No,
anyway.
Black girl magic.
We stayed here and all of our things were moved from Atlanta and put into storage. And I remember being in this room and feeling like I wanted my things. That's why Kevin keeps saying blender. But it was more than a blender. It was feeling like too much transition. It was, and I wanted to feel stable. Like I was looking for some sort of familiarity as I struggle. I was looking for that, and I didn't have it. Granted, these are my family and I know them, but like
it's a lot
the life that I had.
In Atlanta,
yes.
You literally uprooted yourself, started a new job. You have new scenery. You're not in
new
your own
city.
Space. And now you're a new mom as well. Literally happening simultaneously.
At the same time. Like, and then it was so much change. And that was all of the pieces that I underestimated when I was like trying to be black girl
also,
magic.
I said these things.
For sure. No credit away from that. but so all of those things I think played into me going from like this high almost about this new opportunity and new situation we were going to be in and all of that. And it was like too much change. And I just wanted something that I knew. And then I just remember being sad. Like, I slept so much and being so sad. And I think when I realized that I had postpartum is, I don't know if we previously discussed it or what, but like Melissa.
I think we did. And I thought I was being nice. You can tell the story.
Melissa. So Deandra, Melissa's friend Dee, was in the process of planning her wedding. Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah, we did. The day before, Melissa told me that she was going to go out with Dee and they were going to go look for something like jewelry or something.
In downtown LA.
In downtown LA. Yep.
Fashion district.
And I remember being so happy to like get out of the house. Like, oh, I'm going to get to do this. And during that time, Greg was doing odd jobs at ADD with Kev.
Yeah,
he was. And so he was leaving. He was leaving the house and he had something to do.
Yes.
And I had nothing to do but be a mom all day. And so finally it was like, ooh, like I'm going to get to go out with like women and see the sun and like see people. And the next day, I just remember waking up and
I got up to get dressed and Mel was asleep. And I was like, I don't want to wake her up. I'll let her sleep. I came home.
And I was like, where'd you go? And she was like, well, you were in the room sleeping. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, and I came back in the room and like cried like, I just wanted to leave and they didn't think about me. And I'm like, why are you so emotional about leaving the house? Like,
that is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
I was so sad. Where'd but I go? Think, yeah, like,
to the sun?
You just left me.
And Melissa probably came in the house all loud. Ha ha.
Yeah, they did.
Girl.
They came in like,
I got a lemonade.
Like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, like, you. You did stuff today. Okay.
I would have never did you like that. I would have been like, hey, you.
I honestly was thinking, new baby, this is her opportunity to sleep. She is asleep. I should let her sleep. Mm-mm. Total opposite is
it
what
was
she
the
needed.
Worst. I was so sad. I was had so, fun, so did sad. You?
Everybody's leaving but me.
I'm just,
and
real,
honestly, that is
was.
The worst part about like having a baby and you're on maternity leave, which you think is going to be great, but generally men don't have the same leave. Mm-mm. So they get back to work, get back to life, and you are still at home.
Yep. And you know what I didn't think about too? And I kind of feel a little bad for being so naive about this whole thing.
Oh, but we were
don't have any hormone change.
Right.
We have baby now, but there's no like chemical change in our body at all. So Greg's like, yo, I got a daughter, but I'm like, hey, Greg, I got a job for you at ADD. And you Billy say, he's like, bet.
Yeah. Right.
Like, he didn't feel no way. We were working out in the back. Like, nothing changes in our life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when you had Zay Zay, like, there was some, like, fear and all that stuff. But there was no, I can't imagine having to deal with those stress and, like, having wonky hormones. Men, we don't really have, as far as I know, like, hormonal changes. You guys have them with, you know, menstrual cycle. And then baby, it's, like, on steroids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we don't have those swings. So I don't even know what it's like to try to deal with something in like with my brain operating on a different level, your emotions operating at a different level. Like, I don't think we understand that. But I remember a couple of times, this isn't really about postpartum, but I remember the first time I understood the strength of hormones. I used to tell this joke on stage. Alyssa's like maybe 4 or 5 months pregnant and a Famous Dave's commercial came on. Rib Place had just opened. We had ate a lot of it. And it was like 9:43. And the commercial was like, ribs closes at 10. And Liz was like, I would like some ribs. And I was like, me too, man. That place is good. She was like, I would like some ribs.
I don't remember this exaggerated story.
You want me to go to Famous Dave's right now? Like, I might not even make it. Oh, it's fine. I'm just having your baby. I mean, if you don't want to get me, the mother of your child, ribs. I was like, ribs, of course. Please, Dave, open. Let me get a rib tips. When I was driving, like, bro, I thought we was just talking about the idea of ribs in general. We like them. She was so serious at that moment. And that happened like in swings. But after the baby was born, it was like 10 times that amount. You know what I mean? Like, and also dealing with something you never dealt with, plus a new kid was a lot for me. So I'm not really understanding how y'all deal with it. And Greg, I've never heard you speak about it. What was it like for
what
you?
What was your experience?
Because y'all was just in
here.
This room. We had the whole other house. Because y'all didn't even go in the living room that much.
No. Well, no. We did at night to watch that show that we watched. Anyway, we watched the show.
What show?
Tell your story.
Okay, well.
I'll think of the show.
I was cooling because I was like, man, we got to stack all that money.
Right.
We ain't paying no rent. But Mel, my experience with Mel and how I took her depression was, my dad wasn't sensitive or nothing like that. So when I see it, I kind of like shied away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, you know, everything she wanted, I tried to give her, tried to please her, whatever she wanted to talk about, I tried to talk to her mm-hmm. about it. But her thing was getting out of here as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like this is what we agreed on. This is why we moved out here. We're coming out to LA to get more money and to stack the money. We had to come out. We had to get something out of coming out here other than just a job. I mean, the job's cool, but.
But the cost of living is crazy, too.
Yeah. So we wanted, I wanted, as Mel would say, I wanted to just stay in and stack money inside this little room.
Studio A.
But, I could see it in her. Everything bothered her.
Which is a sign that that overly sensitivity, or not a sign, but like a symptom of postpartum depression. It's like that sense of oversensitivity.
I didn't think she was depressed. You know, I thought it was just like, you know, we did a lot. So, you know, we reminisce about the pricing in Atlanta, how we were living in mm-hmm. Atlanta.
Y'all love Atlanta.
Family, dad, brothers,
little John,
auntie,
Killer John, Mike,
everything.
That's what we miss the most.
So
snap music.
But do you remember me telling you that I have postpartum depression?
You was thinking that you had it, and then I don't never remember you saying I do have it.
So okay,
but you saying you think you thought that you had. Because she is just.
How did you feel about, or you and Kevin, like, how did you feel about, did we ever have that conversation
no,
that I had
I,
it?
I want to hear from Greg, because the thing is, I didn't know Mel was suffering from that until you talked about this episode. So I did not know. I don't be home that much, so maybe it didn't register. So I remember Greg, when we would have our brother talks, he'd be in the car like, man, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, and I also thought about something. I want to pin this for us to discuss later. Greg is a provider and a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Moving from Atlanta, where he has a job and hustles. He was parking cars, stacking money. He mm-hmm. had other stuff. Coming to LA, where he's now not working yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mel has this new job.
Right.
So now he's like, I just sold my house.
Right.
I don't have a job right now, and I don't have no hustles. And now you're making me go from $0 a month rent with a new baby to L.A. rent, which is close to $3,000.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So maybe
it's not an exaggeration for you non-L.A. people.
No. So maybe Greg was like, I get it. You want to leave. But I'm giving up some of my life to make your dream come true. And now my whole world upside down. And now you're adding a lot of income and a lot of baby to it. I wonder if he like was that more for you, Greg, to deal with on top of, because the thing about Melissa suffering from postpartum depression is different because your temperament is different. Mm. Like, you're more mild mannered. Mel, personality wise, is much more like me. So when she's down, it's like when your kid is sick. Like, mm-hmm. they're all chipper and then they're just like sluggish. You're like, okay, something's wrong with my kid, because they're never like this.
Mm-hmm.
So Mel is like, let's go out. Like, me and Mel are like, let's go on vacation together and spend all the money and do every activity, and we will never sleep ever, but oh my God, it'll be so fun. And Mel and Greg are like, I mean, do we have to do every activity? Yes. Look at the pamphlets. Y'all see all this? They got go-karts. They got chicken fights. They got all this stuff.
They got chicken fights.
So now, Greg, you're seeing Mel act like you. Like, what was that like?
Was she acting like me?
Or maybe not acting like you, but maybe just less herself, more reserved. or sad.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know what I was going to get from day to day. So,
were you
for
moody
example,
now?
Hmm? Moody? Oh, she was. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Right, moody is
okay. Moody. So you know, one day I come in and she's in here pumping milk, and she got like 5 bags. I done pumped all this milk. Go put
Listen,
it in the freezer.
Breastfeeding,
like,
all that is.
I mean, I'm like,
feel like a superhero.
And she's like, she's happy about this. I'm like, keep on pumping. You know, we got milk in the fridge.
Yeah.
Next day, she's just like, we need to go house hunting. I need to. I'm like, no, we can't. I'm leaving with or without you. And literally, I think one day you did go.
Where'd I go?
Without me.
You house hunting. Go house hunting.
Yeah. She left the house. Me and McKinley was here. She was emotional about it. Everything was over the top. So if she was happy, she was happy. And you like, oh, you're happy. And the next, she'll just drop. Crash. I didn't think it was depression. I just thought it was the situation we were going through.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was nothing. Just maybe the being cooped up. Because remember, Nick had stayed with us in our old house in Washington, which was smaller. And it's just frustrating when you don't have the room you're used to having.
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't remember feeling frustrated because we have the whole house.
Sure.
Yeah.
But y'all went from your whole condo in Atlanta, which was like downtown Centennial Park and hardwood floors, to a room, 3 people in a room.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it's like temperature in this room isn't regulated right. So it's like super hot or super cold.
Yeah.
And you didn't have your blender.
Well, and you know what the interesting thing about this is that when I was looking up about postpartum and they said it swings from like 10 to 20% globally, depending on the year. And I was like, child, depend on the year, what that got to do with anything? And I almost think that it is a factor of those outside circumstances. Yeah. Like maybe a factor of like how the economy is doing, so you feel more stressed having a baby. Those. And so one of the things that me and Melanie both have in common in different ways, but fundamentally they're the same, is that our foundations were shaken. Mm-hmm. So in my circumstance, for me, it was my parents.
Yes.
And I feel like that's my foundation. When I think about who I am, I have to start with what my mom and my dad instilled in me.
Right.
And now that they are separated, they are bump separated, they are now divorced, I feel like my whole world comes into question. And that's literally how I felt. I'm like, my mom was a Christian, my daddy was a Christian, they got together, they worked through all of their problems, they stayed together, we was in church shouting together, and they got divorced, and it was infidelity. Child,
right?
What makes me think I'm exempt? I felt like I was like in this like fairy tale almost of like, this is how life is, and maybe you'll have problems, but all will be fine because my parents, they did it and everything's great and they've been married for 20 something years and all is well. And then it was like pop, but reality sets in and that's not actually how it works. And now, Melissa, you were thinking, living in this fairy tale as well, thinking all will be well, and it's like a huge awakening. Mm-hmm. And it like rocked my world.
Yeah.
You know, like literally my Christian, like my faith was rocked, my relationship with my husband was rocked, my parents, everything was rocked. And then for Mel, it's like a literal foundation that is changing.
Right.
My literal scenery is changing, my house is changing, my role as a woman in this world is changing, from my employment mm-hmm. to now going from a independent, strong, black magic type of woman who believes she can conquer all of these things, to being a mom and experiencing all of these different emotions that you don't anticipate.
Yeah.
And it literally rocks your world.
I remember thinking with Mel, I'm gonna say this and I'll let you talk.
Okay.
I remember thinking any of the things you did would be enough. Like having a baby is a big enough life change.
Absolutely.
Getting a new job within the same city is a big enough life
Absolutely.
Change. And moving to a new city, same job, big enough, but you did baby, new job, and new city.
And
without her husband.
And without husband.
Remember, I got another new job.
Yeah, yes.
I started year off with a new job and having to tell my
you
boss.
Sure did.
I started at CNN. And
that's right.
And then I started and then had to tell her that I'm pregnant. So I was already trying to navigate a new job and like going to be a mother and like pregnancy. So I was already trying to navigate that. And that was hard in and of itself. But I think the other part is I had envisioned, because I was so familiar and we were so planted in Atlanta, I had envisioned what life would look like with a family and with our daughter, and what, like, where I could go to the grocery store and see myself in 6 months with a stroller at the same grocery store.
Yeah, yeah.
And so all of that goes away. We had already, his mother was retiring and going to watch our daughter for us. And like, so you start to plan this life, and then all of a sudden that's changed and you're like, yeah, let's go do it. And then it's like, not only do I have to go to this grocery store that I've never been in, but now I'm here with a new baby. And so everything
is new. Sometimes the biggest change in moving is felt in small things such as going to the grocery store. So as an example, and this actually irritates me like to this day.
I'm sure me too.
And actually when we were just in Atlanta. So the funny thing about LA is that we go to the grocery store Ralph's, which is I think a chain with Kroger. Safeway.
No. That Ralph's is standalone.
So Bonds is with Safeway. Thank you.
Yeah.
So and actually
but that was Ralph's is Kroger.
Ralph's is
Yeah,
you're right.
Kroger.
You're right. Ralph's is Kroger. But Bonds is Safeway. When we first moved here, we actually went to Bonds. Going there, walking in and feeling like I know where everything is. Mm-hmm. This is just like Safeway.
Yes.
There is such a like comfort to that. It's part of the reasons grocery stores are set up the same way across state lines. It's part of the reason Starbucks is always you walk in and you order on this side and you pick up on that side. It's just that, oh, I know what I'm doing.
Familiarity.
Yes, absolutely. And when you move, just as an example, when we were just in Atlanta for Christmas and we went to the grocery store Publix. Picking up whatever, we went in Publix and I was in there like, where are the things? And why is it cold on this side and this side? Oh, all the cold stuff should just be together. I do not understand. And then I was looking for eggnog and it was like off with the orange juice. And I was like, well, that's dumb because this is dairy.
You didn't even have no baby.
No, and it just adds unnecessary time because you're just like, this is all stupid. Yes. This whole state is stupid. The store is stupid. And you stupid clerk who is telling me to walk over there and I just walked over there and it's not there. You're dumb as well.
Do you remember me saying that? Do you remember me complaining about
all the time?
Grocery stores.
Yes. And y'all didn't even have no public. Like, there's no Atlanta grocery store in LA.
And that's the store we was at Atlanta was Publix.
Ralph's is way more prevalent in LA, but there is at least Vons. And we found Vons. We were like, it is like Safeway.
And there's an Albertsons too.
We are.
And there's an Albertsons.
Mail can tell you where anything is. Like, go to aisle 9.
I know Kroger's.
Cookies. Oreo should be right up under this.
Grocery stores are the hardest.
And it just ends up being like, again, just indicative. Like, really, it's small.
It is.
It's an inconvenience, but in real life, it's a small thing. But it becomes a huge thing because it represents the change in all of these things. And it'll cause you to like break down. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was. I would be, and low key, what got me out of the funk? Because actually, I felt like it extended. I don't know how close Isaiah and my mom and my dad was to you getting fired, but I feel like it's all within a year's time.
It wasn't all within a year.
And the reason I say that is because I remember feeling up. Like going through the therapy, going back to work, filling up, and then immediately getting hit again. In addition to still working through my parents' divorce, is now you are getting fired.
No, I think it was Joe was maybe one when I got fired.
So maybe a year and a half then.
Yeah, a year and a half from Zay was probably three, but it was a 5 year period of like a lot of
it
stuff.
It seems so much
two
more
kids.
No, your parents got divorced.
Time. And then I got fired.
And I know why this is because also before you got fired, the real thing is you left Bank of America
and went to KeyBank,
started a new job, and it wasn't working for a while before you got fired. Yeah. So that's maybe that's like the carryover. Yeah, it's all just like condensed for me. And I remember being sad. I remember thinking about my mom and my dad. I remember being stressed about having kids. Kev not having a job. Like, I remember being sad and stressed and overwhelmed is almost like the combination of all of those things. Like, that true sense of just like, all of these things and I can't handle it. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I've changed so much since that time too. But I remember at the time, I was so much more of a control freak to the point where like we worked at the bank and I still didn't trust online banking. And like, I was like super like, don't go into my account. I don't need you auto deducting nothing. I will push this out to you. You'll get your money on time, but I will send it to you. I don't need none of this extraness. I will do it. Like, I remember being so much more like regulated. And pastor at the time spoke this message, and he was talking about, I believe her name is Tabitha. Mm-hmm.
Come forth.
And he said, come forth. And he called me out from the pews up to the front, and he spoke this message, and I felt like he spoke, and I'm getting almost like chills thinking about it. I feel like he spoke the message like, I'm going to speak to Melissa. This message is for her. Mm. And he spoke it and called me out, and that was the real, he was like, you can't control this. You can't control your parents. If your husband gets fired, he gets fired. Guess what? You can't control that either. And at that moment, I was like, relief. Mm. It was like a real turning point, not just in like the moment, but even in like how I started to structure my life. Like suddenly online banking is a thing. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that where I'm like, I can't, there's so much in this world I can't control. And trying to control things you actually can't control is stressful. Stop.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Listen. Come forth.
It was a powerful message. Like, that is actually something, to me, the true turning point for me. Which actually brings me to my next question. Did you seek help?
No.
Nah.
I didn't, but
moving out of here
was a big help.
Yeah, I think I saw a little change when we moved out of here and got the first place.
I was going to say, but then I was just sad because of that place.
That's what I'll let me finish.
Okay. But also, wait, before you say it, that also now, when I think back about the first place that we had when we moved out of here, it's today I would never move there.
I was actually shocked you guys moved there.
I would never move
there. Because I know I was shocked. I remember being shocked about it.
We moved there because
she was so anxious to get out.
And I was like, I'm looking at this place and I'm like, you sure? Great, yes. And I'm like, but you don't smell this?
I was
I was like, look at the carpet. And she was just, we're moving. We're getting out. I'm like,
and you know how bad of an idea it was because we moved there in October and went to Atlanta in November and stayed in Atlanta until
like 5 weeks.
January.
Like yeah, y'all was gone.
So we were not even in the place paying high rent to not even be there. But I was so, like, not thinking straight.
Look, okay.
Really?
It didn't get better then when we moved there because...
All right.
Okay, this is where I can see the depression situation coming in. We're in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Mel says, I do not like...
I know what you're about to say.
...the cabinet. And I'm like, well, we can't change it. But, you know, I'm good with my hands. I was like, well, if you sand them down and restain them. But we're renting this place. We got to do that. So she was like, well, can you do it? I was like, I'm not doing that. And she was like, well, what do you need? And I was like, sandpaper stain, you good. The next day, this girl, man.
Has sandpaper.
This woman is in the kitchen sanding
the
cabinets.
Wait, you did it yourself?
She's doing it herself.
I was.
Do you even know how to use
sandpaper?
No.
I walk in and I'm like, so yes, I
sanded it. I messed it up.
I'm apologizing right now because I ain't never apologized for her being depressed. Because that's
remember, yes, we stained
I'm
it.
Sorry,
wait, take this moment, my sister.
To you.
Take this moment, Mel.
Okay,
yeah, take it in. I'm so sorry.
I think that's sweet.
I'm really.
Thank you for your apology.
I'm sorry. That was some bull.
I'm sorry. There you go. No, let me have my moment. I never apologize. I'm sorry for the passion and the postpartum, and I never apologize.
My goodness. Because, man, this girl was saying, I was like, all right, well, okay. I'm in there watching Game of Thrones. Like, shoot. Kev just put me on Game of Thrones. I'm about to just watch Game of Thrones. She in there, and I'm just the sandpaper just going. And I'm like, all right, move. Yep.
So now, I messed it up,
so
too.
She messed it up to where, so like, bad. If the owners come in, we're about to be paying 10 racks for some new cabinets. So I'm in there going over everything. Yep. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, this. But it was because I was
just not happy. Nothing could make me happy.
And that's the worst part. Me and Mel were talking about this last night. The worst part about going through the postpartum is that there really isn't anything tangible that will make you happy.
Yeah.
And so the worst part about that, I think almost for the men, is maybe that you feel helpless because you don't know what you can do to help.
I remember Greg telling me, like, Kev, I don't know why she's happy. I don't know when she's sad. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I did. I try to take the baby. That doesn't seem to do it. I'm just like, but it never clicked of depression. I always thought, and I think maybe Greg too, that it was just, we got to move out of this place. Because remember, at first you were trying to fight it. Mm-hmm. And y'all would get into it. We'd have like meetings in the living room. Literally. And then at a certain point, you're just like, I'm not going to win this thing. Like, she is relentless about it. And I'm not going to, she's just going to be unhappy all the time if I try to force her to stay here. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I ain't trying to pay all this money.
Yeah. It was every night. She'd be on the computer.
I was every night.
Leave out there.
Looking for a place.
Looking at you like, bye, man.
Okay, so I don't want this episode to be 2 hours long, so I want to wrap it up here.
But
so
can I tell
y'all
that she was sending apartment cabinets, man.
Somebody else's.
You wouldn't. They own it. You wouldn't do your own cabinets.
Yep.
She was. Man,
I was.
Oh my goodness! But go ahead, it's real. That just clicked when we were.
Well, good. I'm happy that we had this.
Well, and it is good because I think it does bring revelations.
Yeah.
I think that hopefully us sharing helps someone out there identify maybe something that they're going to. But also, I think part of it is we don't know. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like it was ever truly mentioned like that to me. Mm-hmm. Even baby blues. Like, I think that is something 80% of women globally are experiencing this. I feel like it's something that should be, like, you should be prepped for that. Like, you should be informed. Yeah.
Maybe even the signs that this is what you,
exactly.
And what it looks like.
And it doesn't have to be, like, scary. You know what I mean? Like, it can be like that. It's normal. All of your hormones are here.
They tell you, you're going to feel this way for a while. I remember them telling you, like, for a good 6 months to a year, you might feel pain when you sneeze. And for a long time when you sneeze, like way after Zay was born, when you sneeze, you'd be like, and I was like, man, this is like a long time to be painful.
A C-section is considered a major surgery.
I've seen it. It is major.
It is a major. You can't sneeze. You can't laugh.
I didn't blink for an hour when I saw. I was like,
can't do none of the things you want to do. You cannot do.
Yeah.
It hurts to walk. It hurts to, all the things hurt.
It's amazing.
But they really should prep you. So with that said, is there anything, this is what I want to, I guess, maybe share with our viewers. One thing you wish you knew going in. Do you want to start, Mel? You can start, Mel.
Okay. One thing I wish I knew, I feel like my specific story is probably rare. I feel like there's not a lot of people doing all of those things. But with that experience, like, I wish you would have said no. You said no.
I did say no.
I know.
But you did not persuade me, Nicolaus.
I know.
And you know what? And actually looking
should have been
back,
louder than Kevin.
I should. That's difficult.
I am loud. That's difficult. If I don't have to be right, I will be loud and persuasive.
And persuasive, and you more align with Kev than me in this. But one thing I do wish, and this is what we talked about as well, I wish I would have come from more of an emotional standpoint. However, it's hard to really imagine all of the emotions that take place not having gone through it.
Yeah.
It is very difficult to truly understand just the change.
Yeah.
Like your mentality, like you are a career. I was a career woman. Like, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. You have this baby and you all of a sudden like, I don't care nothing about the stupid job.
Yeah.
I don't want to be at work no more. But also, I don't want to be at home all the time. But also, don't tell me what to do.
Right.
Like,
all of that.
It's like all of the feelings all at once. And it's really, truly hard to like imagine and almost describe unless you've gone through it. And then you're like, absolutely like, yes.
Yeah, that's accurate. But the other thing, before you ask the question of, is there something I wish I knew? But after this experience, what I would tell any other woman is that even if you have that personality like you and I have, we are very business minded and want to be productive and are productive and want to accomplish all of these things. So maybe people, sometimes you may assume that like, oh, she'll be fine. She'll be all right. I think that's dangerous. And like, you shouldn't assume any woman will be okay. And like, for the sake of friendships, like if your friend is pregnant or about to have a baby, I think I missed and I wished I had more check-ins.
Yes.
More of someone just saying, hey, how are you? Hey, how is it going? How was your day today? How are you feeling today? Once a week or any, you know, just some kind of like regular cadence, because I feel like even that would have made me
look forward to something. We have a friend that just had a baby, so we should check in on
it. We should.
I just thought about it.
Yes. Okay. And I have a friend who's pregnant right now and I'm already like, we're having weekly check-ins. Like, it's just important to do that because that would have gave me something to look forward to and probably would have helped me get out of it sooner.
Got you.
That's it.
Greg, from the, you or Kev, from the husband's standpoint, anything you wish you knew or anything you would say or recommend to a husband or spouse that's either their wife is pregnant or they're postpartum and maybe their wife is going through this and they don't know what to do?
For a husband, I would say, I guess this goes for everybody, but don't take your support system for granted, because we left Atlanta.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we had everything laid out for us there. So we would have, we had everything. So we would have left the hospital, went straight to my dad's house, mm-hmm. my mom's house, mm-hmm. or her dad's house. Mm-hmm. We would have been set. She would have had a big enough room. Sure. We would have had a whole house. Mm-hmm. She would have been in and out of the house because the grandparents are there to take care of the child. Everything would have been really set, for real. Everything would have just been great. So if you have a support system, use them. And if you're somebody out there, like you were saying, you should call the person, ask them how they're doing. And men, just be prepared to be really patient.
That's great really advice.
That is, I think that, I wasn't going to use the word patient, but that's probably the best word. Like, I was going to say something along the lines of the following words. when you were pregnant, I remember having a thought like, okay, I'm not pregnant. I don't know what that part feels like. So like, whatever she says goes within reason. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how I played it with Zay and Joe. You know, like ribs as an example. Like, I'm not finna fight you about ribs. Sure. Like, you want ribs? The least I can do, since I don't have no stomach kicking, no nothing, I can go get you ribs. You know, when the baby's born, just try to be as attentive as you can be. You know what I mean? It wasn't like we can't pump milk, but we can make bottles, change diapers. You know, I don't even think you guys are asking us to do everything, but to be helpful. I remember Mel being like, all right, Greg, I think take the baby. And he would take the baby. Like, even having that is like, oh, you know, that reprieve is there. And just, you know, knowing that sometimes being there and not having the right answer, not even saying anything, just being there, like, we just finna be in this room. I'm just be in this room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that I felt like was helpful a lot of times.
Yeah, I agree. And my advice would be for men to try to be understanding and sympathetic. Your wife is not being dramatic. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it could be passed off as like she's being dramatic, especially if she has kind of like an extra personality anyway, is recognizing that there are true psychological and emotional changes happening in her body that you are not experiencing, and not to dismiss them. Mm-hmm. And number two would be for the woman to not feel like embarrassed. Know that this is something that's very common, and seek help if you feel like you need to. Mm-hmm. Like, that was my first experience with a therapist, and I honestly feel like it was the best thing I could have done at that time, was getting a therapist, because I was too young to even articulate the words, I think I have postpartum depression. Like, those never, I never would have uttered those words. I just didn't have the language to say that. And then secondly, for women not to try to be superwoman and do it all, you need a break. You need a moment. You need a breather. So if your husband says, let me have the baby, you go out. Don't let mommy guilt set in. It's okay to take a moment, breathe, gather yourself, do your hair, put some jeans on, and go out of the house. Because you will get so caught up in being mommy that you lose sight of, lose touch of. And actually, I want to do this episode on identity theft. I'm just going to talk about it really, really quickly because I like really love this idea. We were somewhere and they were talking about identity theft. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what happens to women. We suffer from identity theft. We forget who we are as a soul individual. And we get caught up in the identity of being a mom, being a wife, being an employee, being a churchgoer, being all of these other like identities that we take on that we forget who we truly are. Mm-hmm. And especially after having a baby, you can really lose sight of like who I am as a person. So reminding yourself of the things that you like and not getting so caught up in trying to be super mom, being so caught up in trying to be a mom that you forget who you are as a soul individual. Amen.
That was good. Amen. All right. Good.
Yeah. Anything else we want to say?
Thank you guys for being on the pod. It's been great. Love our conference coming 2020.
Hold on. We have to allow them to give their socials if they would like to be reached. And Mel can talk private. About.
Are you still private?
I've never been private.
You being private. You got your tweets locked.
Oh, tweets stay locked.
Yeah.
Well, tell them where you can reach, where they can be tell them where you can be reached. And if you want to go a little bit into detail about your book, that's fine too.
Oh, okay. You can find me on Instagram. Don't tweet me. at You've Got Mail. I am also the mother of baby on stage. So you
she is not
follow.
My child. Gosh.
I don't have no daughter, cuz.
It's not
it's
his.
My niece.
It's my ours.
Their daughter, my niece.
Yeah.
His niece.
Yes. And as Melissa was mentioning, I have a book, ABCs for Girls Like Me, ABCs for Boys Like Me, is on the way. And it is an alphabet book that highlights the accomplishments of Black women. That's the girls' book, obviously, and then Black men for the boys' book. So you can absolutely purchase it. It's available. It's also on Amazon, but you can also purchase it on kevonstage.com or abcsforme.com. Yeah.
And y'all sell merch too.
Yes.
Merch.
Underrepresented. More shirts on the way. Yeah. And those are on exclusively on kevonstage.com.
Oh, yeah. I like that exclusively. That felt special.
And you can find your boy through her.
He is.
Don't be liking none of the pictures because it's beer. Appreciate y'all for watching.
We don't thank you guys.
Love our conference 2020.
Love our conference in 2020 in Atlanta. We are doing
2020, like next year?
Like next year. We just started the beginning planning stages, so look out for that. Registration to come soon. Thank you for joining us as always. I am Miss Kev on stage. He is Kev on stage. The
Kev on stage.
Kev on stage. And we will be back in your feed next week. Thank you so much for watching.
Bye.
Blacks.